in the morning.
7:34 is where we're at this morning, and of course we move along now to our next feature. So unfortunately, our labour law expert dropped us this morning, and of course that interview won't be going ahead. But of course this whole Al Jamaa story certainly has us thinking about the notion of paying a membership contribution to your party, and is that much of a percentage ethical, as we've heard in the conversation prior to the ad break. But to help us understand and shed some light on the matter this morning, we are joined by Zaira Grimwood, a political systems researcher at My Vote Counts. Zaira, good morning. Asalaamu Alaikum. Thanks for joining us.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for having me on your show.
Only a pleasure. Now, just to get into it, are party members in public office obliged to pay a contribution of their salary to their respective political party?
Well, it all depends on a particular political party's rules. So, for example, you have the Democratic Alliance and the Economic Freedom Fighters, who explicitly state in their policy documents that it's a requirement that party thieves are paid in order to sustain one's membership, or to requirement if one wants to be a member of parliament representing that political party. One must remember that smaller political parties are more likely to have these kinds of rules, seeing as they struggle to raise private funds. So they would have costs that they'd have to incur for maintaining their campaigns and for trying to extend their reach, especially a small party like Al Jamaa. So they would then have these very high costs that it is to campaign. And therefore, it's more likely that you'd have smaller parties like that, regardless if it's ethical or not, that would make it a requirement for their members to pay such contributions.
So, you know, is there a law, and what is the law state, or perhaps are there regulations around political party funding, you know, regarding this?
No. So when it comes to political parties and their status in our legal context in South Africa, they're treated as voluntary associations or private entities. So what that means, in the same way a private company can put whatever they want in their rules, a political party can do that as well. So political parties have constitutions, but that constitution can state anything. It can be completely autocratic. So they have the right then to put such requirements in the party's constitutions. And then, of course, if you then are signing up as a member and you make that agreement, then you are obligated to then, according to the party laws.
Now, in our conversation a little earlier on, you know, Mr. Diaga did mention and say that other political parties only have to pay a 10% of their salaries. You know, what do we know about this? Is this correct?
So it all depends on the particular political party. I think every party has different rules. I don't think the ANC, for example, has any thieves expected that there has to be paid if you're a member of the ANC. I'm not sure about every single political party's rules. I know for a fact that the EFF and the DA, it's around 10%. And I know that if one has not paid up one's contributions, then one cannot be considered to be on the candidate list for the next parliamentary election. So, yes, they're very strict rules. But, yeah, I'm not really clued up on every single political party's particular percentage requirements.
Just in terms of the term limits, you know, Al Jamaa claims that Mr. Diaga's membership from the party had not been renewed, and that was why, you know, he was booted in terms of the non-compliance in terms of the payment that was owed to the party. So do parties set, you know, term limits for its representatives that are serving, you know, within either the provincial or national legislature?
I think it would depend on the seniority of one's leadership. I think as just a member of parliament, I don't think there are limits. I know we have people who've been sitting in parliament for many years. So I think that rule is very strange, and perhaps an excuse then to then give reasons why they're trying to push this particular member out. But when it comes to paying membership, you can be a card-carrying member of a political party, and then when it comes to membership requirements as a member of parliament, of course it will be a more expensive fee that one is expected to pay.
So, of course, in this case, with regards to Al Jamaa, you know, if any documentation had been filled in prior to the appointment of Mr. Dayaga, then Al Jamaa certainly does have a case there.
Yeah, so, well, if he made an agreement that he had to pay up his membership, then that's the party rules. Then he'd have to then abide by that. And if they want to then take this matter further, the party, and go to court, they can do so and they can show such evidence. But it all depends then, okay, on, I guess, also the party rules, but also then again on fairness. I mean, there are very basic principles on requirements for political parties to be democratic. In their rules, but there's no prescriptive measures on exactly how that democracy should be implemented. So I think it would be very harsh if they pushed this member out as a result of him not paying such membership. Of course, you know, it's a smaller party. He probably already has paid a large contribution of his salary to the party, but I think it would be unfair for them to kick him out. But I mean, the matter then would have to be then dealt with in court.
Certainly. Well, Zaira, thanks so much for joining us this morning and shedding light on the matter for us. We do appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much.
Only a pleasure. And that was Zaira Grimwood there.